What was the schools like?
Well, one teacher. And my grandfather's, my mother's younger brothers, they didn't want to go off to school because they didn't want to leave home. So they'd get a man teacher. And the first one I remember was a man that came down from Tennessee and he taught a while. Then there was an old man from Virginia that came and taught. And he wanted teachers like that that would teach the boys, you know, my young uncles. And when I was 3 or 4 years old, I used to go. And then later on, I really entered school.
Mm-hmm. But he taught, these men taught at your house?
No, there was a little schoolhouse on the range that we went to every day. Just one little room school.
Mm-hmm. What kind of subjects did you study?
Oh, just the regular. Everything, you know, mm-hmm. Math and history and reading. They were good readers in those days, you know. The readers used to have real literature in them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether you've ever seen any of those old readers, but they're very interesting books. We don't have any, unfortunately, but I remember them. Poetry and things like that. And Texas history, I can remember studying that at an early age. My father was from Mississippi. He was not a Texan, but he came here when he was young and was very much interested in Texas. And he always wanted us to learn Texas history.
What was the ranching like? Was he a cattle rancher?
Yes, and later on he moved the cattle out to Hebronville, near pastures out there at San Diego and Hebronville. And they cultivated cotton there at White Point. And they had a gin first. At one time, they had a gin on the ranch.
Did he farm and by himself, or did he have? Did he hire quite a few people to work for him?
Mexican laborers. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And what? How did they cultivate their crops? In was that all by a horse-drawn plow?
Yeah, mules, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And I guess it was all hand-picked?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. All together. Uh-huh. And sometimes Mexicans would come in, you know, from other places when they needed a lot of cotton pickers. All together Mexican laborers.
Mm-hmm. You said your father was interested in Texas. Did he, was he involved in politics?
Yes, he was, and he was a county judge in San Patricio County for a long time.
Mm-hmm. What kind of duties did he have to perform as county judge? Just presiding over
trials? Over the county court, uh-huh. And at first, the school superintendent, county superintendent, the county judge was also the county superintendent. And he was always very much interested in schools, too. And building up the schools and getting the best teachers, you know, in the country schools.
Did you work any on your father's ranch when you were little, or when you weren't in school?
No.
You just
didn't know anything about the work. Uh-uh.
Mm-hmm.
My brothers did, even when they were very young, after they moved the cattle out to those western pastures. Well, they would go and work, but the girls didn't.
What did you do, just help around with household chores, or?
Well, not very much of that, because, you know, Mexican labor was very easy to get in those days,
mm-hmm.
and we had lots of Mexicans living there. We had some duties.
Mm-hmm. That must have left you a lot of leisure time, I guess.
Well, we learned to read at an early age and loved reading.
Is that how you spent most of your time?
Uh-huh. And we liked outdoor exercise, walking and riding horseback.
Hmm. How many?
And when we wanted to play games, we'd get the Mexican children to come play with us. You know, like those, I don't know whether the children play those anymore or not, but kind of running games and hiding and such
mm-hmm.
things. We'd have the Mexicans come play with us
mm-hmm.
to make enough to be interesting.
Uh-huh. What, you know, shopping or something, where did you have to go to?
Well, here in town, Corpus Christi, and the boats were, there was a sailboat, and some of the Mexican men were good sailors. The boys learned to sail too, but the Mexicans would run the boats. We could come over here to town, you know, just about 7 miles across the bay, and we could come over and shop. Mm-hmm. My mother and my grandmother used to come. The only way to drive to town, well, there was no causeway, you know, from Portland here.
Right. Uh-huh.
And they rode through the water, you know, on an oyster reef that was high, elevated enough that the water wouldn't run in their buggies. But yeah. I never did cross that myself.
Mm-hmm. You always took the sailboat?
Whenever I came, it was on the sailboat or on the train. Take a train in Portland, come.
Come
to town. But you couldn't go back the same day. You'd always have to spend the night and go back the next day.
Hmm. When you went shopping, how many stores were they, and what were they like? What kind of merchandise?
Liechtenstein has been there as far as I can remember.
Is that more of a general store that handled most all the needs or items that you needed in those days?
Well, all the dry goods, you know, clothing things, yes. And I don't remember about anything else. That's the only thing I ever shopped for was clothes. Of course, and hats. We'd have to buy hats. We always had to have a new hat for spring.
What were the churches like? Do you remember?
Well, we're Catholics, and we come to church here. Not every Sunday. We didn't get to go to church every Sunday. And then the priest from San Patricia would come once a month, and we'd have services at the house, have mass. The priest would come and stay a day or two, and they'd have service for the Mexicans and for us. And the Mexicans didn't come to the house when we had the mass in our house, but we would go to their house when they had it there.
Was everyone present at the service, or did he give separate services for the Mexicans and separate ones for your family?
Well, as I said, separate for us, but we'd go when they had it at the Mexican house. We'd go there too.
And the priest stayed overnight at
at
your house?
Yeah, he'd come and stay a day or two. And I remember the bishop came sometimes. And my youngest brother, when my youngest brother was baptized, the priest and the bishop came. So the priest, Father Puig, was his godfather, and the bishop baptized him. I remember that.
Hmm. Was the church in those days, how has it changed, you know, since when you can remember it, the changes?
The Catholic Church?
Yes, I guess it's changed quite a bit.
It's changed a good deal. At first, you know, the service was entirely in Latin until mm-hmm. just a few years ago. Well, under Pope John the 23rd, they changed and used English, the English. And it's changed somewhat. Not in belief, you know, but in form.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It used to be stricter, you know, like couldn't eat, you know, certain church rules like eating meat on Friday, and that's been abolished, and very strict about Sundays, and people got more lenient about that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, we think nothing of it. If we want to sew something, we'd sew it on Sunday, but we wouldn't then.
You didn't even sew anything on Sunday?
No, not on Sunday.
When did you move here to Corpus Christi?
Let me see. We lived in Sinton a while, you know. Well, first we went to Portland. There was a college there. So we went to school there instead of going to a public high school. We went there. And then we came. The family came here to live about in the 20s, I guess, 1920s. And but I was away from home at the time. I became a teacher, and while I was teaching in San Antonio, I was offered a job in hospital work, in TB hospitals. Because I was a Spanish teacher and they wanted somebody, you know, to work with the patients. So for several years I did that. in New Mexico, in Saranac Lake, New York, you know, which is a very famous tubercular place, you know, that Dr. Trudeau established that. And then I came back to Texas in at Legion. And then they wanted to send me way west to the Northwest, and I didn't want to leave, so my father wasn't very well then. I didn't want to go far away from home. So I resigned from that and came here to teach, and that was about 35 or something like that. 35, I guess it was.
Hmm. You said you were a teacher. Where did you receive your training or college for teaching?
Well, first I went to San Marcos, that college at San Marcos. Then I taught a few years. Then I had some courses at the University of Texas. I got the degree at A&I. And after I got my A.B. degree, I went to Columbia, but I didn't take all the graduate work at Columbia. I just transferred the courses from Columbia and finished at A&I. Got my master's degree at A&I, too.
And you taught Spanish?
Spanish and taught some in the elementary schools. I taught some Mexican children a good deal. You know, they had separate schools here for the Mexican children. I taught in junior high, and I taught in the Mexican school here in Corpus Christi.
Were the schools then, you said they had separate schools, were the Mexican schools
they did then,
taught in Spanish?
No, they taught the Mexican children English.
Mm-hmm. But the Mexican students attended a separate school.
Well, it depended. They didn't bus them to a different part of town. Mm-hmm. The schools were established in that part of town where they lived. You know, they're more mixed up now than they were then. But they didn't send a child way across town to another school. You know, like this, mm-hmm. that foolishness they do now.
What you've mentioned something about working in a TB hospital.
Yes.
Do you, what were some of the practices, say, the doctors, or how did they treat TB patients?
Well, first I went to New Mexico, and it was high and dry, and it was southern New Mexico, and it was high and dry air, and they had sleeping porches, you know, and the men would lie there on the sleeping porches. Certain rest hours, and then they'd have some recreation. And they wanted something for them to do to occupy their time, so they had a school for them, you know, and whatever they wanted to take. They had business courses they could take. Some young women came out there and taught business courses. And so what I did was teach Spanish. They just to give them some occupation. You know, it was called occupational therapy. And then I went to Saranac Lake, to that place, and then, as I said, to Legion, Texas, you know, up at Kerrville.
Mm-hmm. But what kind of treatment, do you know any kind of treatment the doctors gave the TB patients?
Let's see, what was it they call that lung business that they started? I just can't think what it was now. I hadn't thought about that in so long. I just can't think of it, what the name of it was. But they'd collapse the lung and give it a rest. You know, that's one thing they did. They'd collapse a lung and use the other lung, you know, and that way gave it a rest. They did that very successfully. I don't know whether they still do it or not, but they did at that time.
But that did prove successful.
Yes, it was at that time, and I don't know. I haven't heard anything about it lately. Oh, there were lots of cures. Of course, not all together, but there were lots of cures. It was very sad, you know. We had a very close relationship with the. It was an isolated place, and just a very interesting place out in the country, and I enjoyed it very much.
You know, well, when you were a little girl, what did y'all do for doctors then? Did they have a doctor come out to?
Yes,
your house?
From town, from Corpus Christi. Mm-hmm. They'd come out there, or we'd come here, you know, and stay at a boarding house or something. No hospital. Early days, no hospital. Oh, I guess they... No, I don't think there was any hospital. My father got badly hurt one time, when they had the gin, he got his arm cut, you know, in places. And he had to come and stay a long time in town. I remember that in my childhood.
For a lot of illnesses, did y'all have a lot of home remedies or things of this nature?
We didn't get sick.
Didn't get sick?
And never get sick. We had childhood diseases. We had whooping cough and measles. We didn't. We were very healthy. And I can't even remember many accidents or anything. Where we'd fall off horses, but we didn't get hurt. No broken legs.
At that time, were there very many doctors in Corpus Christi?
There was a very famous doctor, Dr. Spahn. It seemed like everybody went to Dr. Spahn. And then Dr. Haney, who was the grandfather of the present Dr. Haney, you know. Yeah, there was a good many doctors. They had had a yellow fever epidemic. And, of course, long before my time. When my mother was a year old, they had a yellow fever epidemic. And they had a lot of doctors here at that time.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember your mother telling you about this epidemic?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And over there were three families that lived. My grandfather and two families named White. And they had sent a Negro man across the bay on the boat, and I guess he was bitten by a mosquito while he was here, because of course they didn't know it was a mosquito in those days that carried it. And he came back over to where they lived and took the yellow fever, and they caught it spread mm-hmm. there among those families. And so the two men named White died, and one of the women, and several children. But my grandmother had it, but she didn't die. And they were all buried out there in the family graveyard. And then my grandfather bought the land from the other men, and the family still owns it. Not all that he did own, but the part where they lived on. He did own lots across the river in Nueces County, too, but he sold that to the Driscolls.
You mentioned something about the other day about the cattle that were getting sick and dying.
Uh-huh. Well, on account of the drought.
Oh, so they just
the
didn't
drought,
have
them. I think he lost a lot of cattle. I guess that's really where he lost his fortune, was in the drought, because he at one time was fixed.
What year was that?
70s, I believe they said. I don't remember what year it was. Mm-hmm. Long before my time.
Is that what one of the reasons he sold his land to the Driscolls?
Yes, uh-huh. Try to save the cattle. They'd send them off. They used to go to the Indian Territory, you know, what Oklahoma was then, in the early days. They'd drive the cattle up there for pasture. And of course, they'd have to drive them overland. They didn't ship them.
Do you remember the railroads coming in?
No, I don't remember. It was already here before I remember. Mm-hmm. The one from San Antonio down to here, and the branch going to Rockport and Aransas Pass. That was already. I remember when that other one that goes to the valley came in. Mm-hmm. You know, that Brownsville Road.
Oh, yes, sir. I imagine that was quite an occasion.
Mm-hmm. But I guess so, because they brought a lot of people from the north buying land in the valley, you know. Mm-hmm. Opened up the valley, I guess. Of course, I don't know much about it, but I'd hear it.
You mentioned that you went to A&I.
Yes.
What year did you attend A&I?
Great goodness. I think I got my degree in 1930.
How big a college was it then?
Well, not anything like now. They had that main building and some wooden structures, you know. And the library was in that main building, you know, and they have a magnificent mm-hmm. library now. As you know, I think the buildings are beautiful there now, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a lovely campus.
Who was the president or
Mr. Cousins.
And what courses did you study at A&I?
Mostly English and Spanish. Because I had had most other things before I went there, you know, at these other colleges.
What, when you were growing up, what were some of the customs that now don't exist anymore? Or dress, you know, the clothing, you mentioned that most of the ladies all wore hats.
Or yes. Had
bonnets.
Hats.
What were some of the other forms of dress you can remember?
Well, I know they wore long dresses. I can remember my mother and my aunts wearing very long dresses. But in my time, we didn't have dresses. Of course, longer than wear them now, but never to the ankle, you know, as they did, the older women did. When I was a child, the dresses would go clear to the floor. And usually they made them themselves. Or had dressmakers, you know. There'd be dressmakers here in Corpus Christi that'd come over and get them made. Or my mother sewed herself.
Do you remember when you were growing up any of the hurricanes?
Yes, the first one they had was 1916. And of course there was a lot of destruction then, but the bad one was 1919. And I guess that was the very worst one, except the one that was just a few years ago, you know, that did so much. The last one that did so much damage.
Where were you at the time when these hurricanes came in?
I was in Sinton at both times. And it blew there. I was back from the coast. And over at White Point, there was so much destruction that in the 1919 storm, you know, and so much wreckage and dead bodies floated across. Mm. There were lots of people buried on the beach there. And my father went out to sort of catalog the things, you know, and get what record they could. And everybody in the country was trying to, you know, help get dead bodies out from under the wreckage and everything, and saving maybe people's lives. And so my father said to my sister and me, he said, "You all ought to come out." My aunt was living at my grandfather's house. "Go out and help your aunt." Because so many people, the people that are working and the refugees had to be fed. So we went. Some men were taking a wagon across. You know, the roads weren't good. And we went with them and we helped. And we served food all day long to the people, the refugees and the people that were working, you know, with the dead. I forget how many dead bodies they buried there until they were moved later.
You said they were buried on the beach?
Well, no, back on the hill, back on the hill where the house was, near the house.
How did y'all house the refugees? What kind of housing did they get? Did you take them into your
took
people
them into,
take them
it
into
was
their
a big house, my grandfather's house. Like there it is over there. I painted this picture of it, and I guess they just sleep maybe on pallets on the floor. I don't remember how they all. But some of them, I can remember how sad it was, because there were people that had lost their, had seen their wife and children drown right before their eyes, you know, and then the survivors were very sad. I don't remember how many days we worked there with them, several days, about a week, I guess, before it was all cleared up. Because we were young in our teens.
Those were the two worst hurricanes, 1916 and 1919.
1919, yes. Mm-hmm. But 1916, though, nothing. Oh, just a few, little bit, a boat, or maybe a boat or something like that would float over. But they didn't have wreckage from houses and no dead bodies floated across. From the 1916, that was not till 1919. And that's the last time, too, that they anything floated across.
It didn't bother your house or anything, the house you lived in?
It wasn't. Lots of, I think, 80 window panes. They said 80 window panes were broken out of that house. Because they were small panes, you know. Like about 12 to a window, and lots of windows. There's the house over there. And had blinds, you know, shutters you could... But nothing else. Nothing else was destroyed except the window panes were broken. I think a chimney blew down once. One of the chimneys blew down. But they had three, you know, in the house. Oh, I'm afraid I can't think of anything very interesting.
The sheriff's pretty tough. And
oh, there was a man, as long as he was county judge, there was a sheriff that was a very forceful character. His name was Odom, Dave Odom. And they said he was really a very fine detective. Just had an instinct for it.
Did they ever have any hangings or anything like this that you can remember when you were little?
No, I don't remember. I don't think it was. Oh, I'm sure they must have had. You know, there's a one woman was hanged once in San Patricio, a Mexican woman. But that was long before my time. I don't know what year it was, but she had a kind of a little restaurant up on the Ranches River, I guess it was. And her travelers would stop maybe at her one place they might stop to get food on the way, like between San Antonio and down here. And some traveler came by and he was killed and they found his body in the river. And I don't know whether she did it or not, but she was accused of it and tried and hanged her. And a friend of mine, who is a writer, and she wrote that story in poetry form. And of course, according to her story, she made the woman innocent, of course, because writer's privilege. And that somebody else did it, and that she was innocent, but she was hanged anyway for it. And that was true, that part of it, on a tree, hanged to a tree on the river up there by the old town of San Patricio. Used to be the county seat of San Patricio County, and was moved to Sentinel later on. That's the only one I ever know for sure was hanged in that county, but must have been others.
How are the racial feelings then, say, toward the Mexican people? Did they segregate everything?
Oh, entirely, but there was a nice friendly relationship, but of course it was like the Mexicans were kept it in their own class, and there was no social life at all between them. But the white people were good to the Mexicans. I know we had a lot of Mexicans, and we liked them, and they loved us. There was a loyalty, you know, both ways. The landowner took care of the Mexicans. They always supplied them with the medicine, and if they needed a doctor, they got lots of privileges. Didn't pay them much, but they didn't take much in those days to live on.
You mentioned something about whole families picking cotton and celebrating. Did you ever attend these little, you know?
Oh, we'd see them at night, you know, out behind, maybe way back behind the barn. They'd be out there. They'd just sing and be laughing and telling stories and everything. Yes, we'd go listen to them. Because we could talk Spanish. Of course, we learned from the Mexicans first before we studied. We learned that. Because they didn't talk English in those days. And in early days, they didn't think it was polite to talk, even after they learned English, to talk English to the white people, to the American, to the Anglos. We always call them white people, because that's not correct.
Did most everybody, when you were growing up, did most people speak Spanish?
No. Surprisingly enough, I think so few people learned it. The men did, because they worked with the hands, you know. But I just know a lot of people that just didn't learn it at all. Hmm. There was I taught a little white child one time, little Anglo child, a poor white trash, actually, she was, and poor little thing. And it wasn't very good in Spanish. And I sent her mother a note, you know, and the mother came, and she said, "Well, I don't care." She said, "I don't like the Mexicans no how."
Was that the attitude of quite a few people at that time?
Of the poor white trash. Mm-hmm. Not of the other kind. Mm-hmm. "I don't like them Mexicans no how," she said.
Would they, the migrant workers, would they come when the crops were ready to be, like cotton when it's ready to be picked?
Uh-huh.
And stay?
To pick, And that's the only time they needed outside help, was for the picking. Mm-hmm. And they'd go from, you know, farm to farm. Picking.
You mentioned that sometimes they would be snake bitten. Did you ever see one of them when they'd been?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I remember one little girl that we used to play with, that we went to see her. She got over it, but she was sick in bed, you know, and her leg was swollen and discolored. But she got well. I don't know what the doctor did. But it looked bad, you know, it swelled up. I remember seeing a Mexican boy, too. After he'd been snake bitten. But we never did have one die from it. Not that ever worked for us.
When they were snake bitten, did you just call the doctor in, or did they do anything for it themselves before the doctor got?
I don't know whether they did this sucking the blood, sucking the poison out, like you hear about. I don't know if they did that or not. I don't think they always had the doctor. They knew what to do. Of course, nowadays they have that snake venom they use, but I don't think that we had it. When I was a child, they didn't have it.
Do you remember when first telephones came in?
Yes, I know my grandfather had a telephone kind of early days.
What type of communications did you have before then? I guess just letters.
Just letters. Written. But even at the ranch, the mail came every day. A man used to drive a little gig, you know, and carry the mail from the post office at Portland out to the ranch and on up to nearly to Odom.
But the mail.
He made that trip every day, in my childhood,
But the mail delivery was good.
Yes, every day the mail, except Sunday, the mail was delivered.
You mentioned about the roads being bad.
Oh, yes.
How was it affected when it rained? Did they?
The people couldn't go.
Impassable.
It'd be impassable, yes. And even the road to San Antonio, it was paved from San Antonio to Floresville. But from Floresville on down here, if it had rained, you just couldn't go.
How long did it usually take to make a trip from here to, say, San Antonio, as early as you can remember?
I think about 5 hours, seems to me. I'm not sure. Seems to me, I remember it was about 5 hours. In a car. I never did go any other way, on the train or in the car.
When did they start improving the roads that you can remember where they made vast improvements?
I'm not very good on dates. I can remember when they were so bad, and then they started paving, but I don't know what year it was. Must have been it was after I came back home to stay.